So we're still on our series, Step by Step. Does anyone know the Whitney Houston song, Step by Step? I wish we could just play that every time I say that word. And it's every journey begins with one step. And the whole idea of this series on steps is to be inspirational, but to also look in the scriptures as to where there is practical steps to get to where we're talking about. Now, we can speak about this till the cows comes home, and I can tell you what it's like to do A, B, or C, or you could tell me what it's like to experience something with God. But unless I take the first step, I'll never know. Peter would have never known what it was like to walk on water until he took that one step. And he has a testimony that I don't know whether any other mankind, any other human has, but at least none that I have heard. And so I'm encouraging us not only just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And if you know anything about speaking or preaching, in my case, this stuff hits you first before you deliver it, or well, it should. So if it challenges you, believe me, you know, the preacher, the teacher gets challenged doubly, because I've read it and wrote it, and now I'm preaching it. So, well, that's three times. Hello. And so, Lord help us, amen. So this week I want to speak on step by step, knowing God. Do you know when I became a Christian first? Thanks, Sam. When I became a Christian first, one of my favorite scriptures that I memorized was John 17, verse 3. And if you want to turn there, you can. It's an amazing scripture. It's full of bold statements. And there's people called in Jesus' day, well, certainly in the apostles' day, where there's people called the agnostics. And these were people that were full of knowledge. But they said that it was impossible to know the things of God. It was impossible to know God and the nature of God and the character of God. And Jesus himself, in the midst of all of this environment, religious environment, political environment, intellectual environment that was going on in his day, he stands up and he makes this statement. Now, if you want to know something amazing about Jesus and what he says about us, it's all over the Gospels. But if you want to know about knowing God and what he says about to know God in the scriptures, read John 15, 16, and 17. And make that your reading this week, and you read Jesus talking about being connected in the vine. You hear Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit will come, and he will take what is said in heaven, and he'll make it known to us on earth. And it's all these promises about the Holy Spirit and about us. Jesus says, Father, the glory that I have known, I've made it known to them. And there's all these statements, Father, I will dwell in them as you dwell in me, and I dwell in you. It's full of just absolute amazing truths. In all of this, I'm summing it up with this. Jesus says, now, this is eternal life. That you know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom we've sent. That you know God. You want to know what eternal life is? It's not waiting for you when you die. Jesus says, this is eternal life. That you know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That word know is a word, and agno is in there. It starts off, it's a Greek word with like agnostic, like knowledge, understanding. And agno is in there, and it means not to just know about something intellectually, but it's to know someone experientially. Are you with me? See, God is not someone just to be believed in. God is someone to be experienced. And what happens when we experience God? I don't know about you, but Sheila had a bit of an experience of God this morning. I hope others had this morning in different ways. And Lord, I feel your love. I feel your closeness. That it's not just someone to go, well, I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Virgin Birth. I believe in Jesus. It's not just something that we consent to with an intellectual ability. But God, that's okay. But God wants to go deeper. God wants us to experience him. Because you know what? Intellectualism can be argued, don't you? But I'm telling you, when you experience God, no matter who says what, you cannot deny that. They cannot rob her on you, because it's like, no, I might as well deny who I am than to say I haven't experienced God. To say that I've never prayed and got a prayer answered. To say that I've never spoken tongues. Say that I never heard a prophecy. To say, like, you can't rob it. They can't rob it. And Jesus says, this is eternal life. That word, that agno thing is like to know him experientially. To know him in a way that is intimate. Now, when we take our minds a little bit and go to know God intimately and experientially, we're not talking about a human being here. We're talking about, and Jesus saying, that you can know the all-knowing, almighty, everywhere God. You can know, and I can know, the all-powerful God. We can know the one who stands out in his own magnificence and brilliance and radiance and his holiness and his righteousness. And he says, and you can know this God through Jesus Christ, whom he sent. The God who knows no possibilities. The God who spoke the world into existence. The God who was there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who was there with Moses. The God who was there with Joshua. The God who stood with David while he faced the giant. The God who picked him up when he fell. This is the God that he says we can know. Intimately. Experientially. If someone says to me, no, I'm 27 years walking with Jesus. And if someone says, what's the things that kept you? It's them moments. And I experienced it more than anything else. When I was at my lowest and he was there. When I was at my highest and he was there. And the steps to knowing God, and this is not where we're going to land, because I want to talk about in the end, knowing God in difficult times. For how do we come to know God? Listen to what Jesus says. That you and I, or anyone else, cannot see the kingdom of God, even taste of it, unless you're born again. This is the first step of knowing God. That like, when we are not, what does born again mean? Another translation says, born from above. That when Adam sinned in the garden, his spirit was dead. Jesus comes back and he renews their spirit. We are born again spiritually. I can't go back into my mother's womb again, can I? So when Jesus says, born from above, he wasn't talking about a physical birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth, a rebirth, being born anew. And it's that nature, when that old nature is replaced with a new nature, it's that nature that has a desire to know God. It's that nature that has a desire to please God. It's that nature that has new passions and new desires and want and a new hope and a new future. It's that nature. That, listen, that gets you up every Sunday morning or every morning to want to seek God. Because before that, I don't know about you, and I think the world is full of weak Christians. I think Dublin is full of weak Christians. I think Liberty is full of weak Christians. Because I'm telling you, when you're born again, no one ever has to say to me, come on, you get to church. When you're born again, you want to be with people that are born again. And there's a whole thing out there in Christianity, in this city, and it might be in some of us, that you don't need to be in church. I'm telling you, it's a life from hell. Because I can't do this on my own. I don't know how super people can. And I'm telling you what, they end up being weak. Because Obama had something right. Together we're stronger. I don't have to be, and I'm telling you, don't let anyone make you this type of Christian. No one has to hold me hand to read the Bible. No one has to hold me hand to get up and pray. No one has to hold me hand to walk with God. Why? Because it's that new nature. It draws me to God. I don't know about you, but you know, I turned 50, say, no way. No way. Be more convincing, will you? I turned 50 just there at Christmas. For the podcast. I turned 50 there at Christmas. True. And I don't know about you, but it's happened way before the 50, but everything that is born of this world, of the dirt, because that's what we, ashes to ashes we return to. Everything in me that is of this earth is getting drawn back to the earth. My chest. My belly. Everything is like getting, what? What? My knees. That's Sharon telling me all this. And there she was this morning looking at me always saying how beautiful I am. I was like, yeah. But everything is getting drawn back to where it came from. But see, when you're born from above, that's getting drawn to where it came from. It's looking higher, looking for more, looking to the mountains from where my help comes from. That when you're born again, that the steps of knowing God is like everything in me. I don't know about you, when I read words like, Jesus, come again. You know, there's a human part, and it's like, oh, don't come yet, Jesus. I want to see all my grandkids. See my spirit. It's like, come on, Jesus. Jesus, right here, right now. Let the eastern sky splitter open, and you come on your white horse, and you take the bride to be with you. Everything that is in me that is born again longs for that day. It's looking forward to that day. How to know God. I used to say that, honestly, if you've seen when I was born again first, it's like we were in the flats. Nobody knew what this was. We didn't even really know what it was, all that other than we experienced Jesus, the love of Jesus, changed our lives. We didn't work in theologians. We had no ecclesiastical training. Of course, we didn't know our head from our elbow. We knew Jesus. And I used to freak my friends out. I know God. Now it's gone mad. I remember one day I was in my bedroom. When you hear this from John, I was in the bedroom. I lived on 189. We lived on the bottom. You could easily look in our window. And one bedroom was damp. And the other bedroom was all right. And we were all in that one bedroom. And where I used to go in to pray in that room, it was freezing in that room. It was so cold in that room. In the wardrobe, my suit used to wear me overcoat. And I went in, right, and it was damp on, it was like wet on the ceiling. You wouldn't believe it. And, but someone gave Sharon a fluffy morning coat. And, I'm walking up and, you know, like a real good one. Probably stroked out of a hotel or something. And, so I'm there and I'm walking up and down praying because I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I walk and I'm praying. That's my praying in tongues, praying for my family, praying for my community. And I'm walking up and down, but I'm freezing. And I look over on the back of the thing, the door, and that lovely morning coat was there. And I was like, I put it on. So I put it on, wrapped it up, big, walking up and down, right? Kid you not, me two brothers, Matthew and Dex, Matthew was waiting on Dolphin's barn, right? And Dex came down to the house, my brother, to see. So he looked in the window. In a white morning coat, right? He goes up and gets my other brother. Noel's gone off his head. What's wrong with him? He's down there in a white dress with a black cross on the back of it, speaking in Arabic. So the two of them came down to rescue me. Born again from above. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't even recognize it. Because your eyes have to be open spiritually. That's why people go, what are you into? You see miracles in your life, transformation in your life, and you still can't grasp it. Because Jesus said, John 3:3, unless you're born from above, you can't even comprehend this stuff. That's why people say, oh, you're like the others or someone else. And they say something crazy, like Zoroastrianisms or something like that. You know, no, it's not like that. That's all you can see because you only have those eyes. But when you're born again, you get a new set of eyes. So how do steps to know God? And how do you get born from above? Ask Him. The Bible teaches, confess. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Confess that He's the way. Confess that we've sinned. The Bible tells us to believe in our hearts that He is Lord. That He died, He rose again, He lived, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. How do you get born again? Invite Jesus in. Invite the new nature. Invite His nature into our lives. How do we get know God? Surrender to Him. Telling you. When you're in His will, the flow of our lives. Do you know what I know when I'm not in God's will? You know when I know I'm in God's will? I feel terrible. I feel like Maximus Malinus. I feel like I can take on an army. I feel like I can walk up to the canal and say in Jesus' name, speak. I kid you not. His will is the only place to be, to flow in what He wants for us. This is what the Bible says, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, you know, people say, oh, I become a Christian, I have to give this, this, and this. When you know God's will, honestly, everything is like, as Paul says, listen to what Paul the Apostle says. It's like dung compared to knowing him. Compared to intimately experiencing Jesus Christ. Everything else. That's what Paul said. It's like something off the dung. Receive, surrender, receive. And I pray that we know God here today. I pray that you're born from a meal. If you haven't, it's just simple. Ask. Honestly, he's faithful to what he says. But as a Christian, sometimes when difficulty comes our way, that can be all thrown out the window. Someone says to me during the day, I have a habit of running for me blankie. You know what that is? You know when kids have something and they can't go to school without it? And if someone had a kid, we haven't had any that was into the blankie. But you know it's difficult, how difficult there is for a kid to get rid of that. Because the security is in it. There's significance in this little piece of cloth that is real. And someone says to me, Noel, every time something comes up for me, I run away and to my blankie. And my blankie could be anything when I'm an adult. Couldn't it? But David in his life knew difficulty. You want to turn to Psalm 40, it'll come up on the screen there. And you read in the scriptures about real people who knew a real God. And when you hear David's, and this is where we're going to find some steps of knowing God in difficult times and what to do and what steps to take. And we've about 10 minutes to get through this. 15 minutes. Listen to what Psalm 40 says. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud or to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, this is his difficulty. Oh, no, sorry. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things that you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Oh, then I said, here I am. I've come to you. It is written about me in your word. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is written within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts to the great assembly. I do not keep my mouth shut. I do not seal my lips. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Here he is. For troubles without number surround me. My sins has overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be turned, be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I'm poor and I'm needy. Your Lord, will you think of me? You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. David was saying that his troubles and the people that were against him and his own failures and sin were as many as the hairs on his head. And if you read about David's son Absalom, who had the best head of hair in all of Israel, he probably got that from his dad. And David knew what it was like to be overtaken. He knew what it was like to be under condemnation and guilt. He knew what it was to have people not only talk about him, but desire him to be dead. He's like, Lord, there are too many for me. Has anyone felt like that? That there's too much for me. David in Psalm 135, listen to what he says. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our God is above all gods. And that word know in Hebrew, which the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, New Testament is written in Greek. In that word Greek, it means to know you intimately. And the word in Hebrew is yada, or the way you pronounce it is yada. Truly, that's how you pronounce it. Yada. And it means the same as the Greek. To know God in moments of intimacy and experience. That it goes beyond an intellectual understanding. It goes beyond just something that you see with your eyes. It's something that you see, someone that you experience in the good times and in the bad times. And David certainly had found himself in the bad times. But what did he do with this God that he knew? Did he look? He says, I don't want to be like those who run after other gods. He says, I don't want to be one of those that turns to the proud. Say, will you help me? You have more knowledge than God. You have more understanding than God. He says, I don't want to do that, Lord. Do you know why he probably doesn't want to do that? Because he's probably done it before. And he's like, it doesn't work. So what does he do? So here's our steps that I found in this. Step one, he turned to the Lord. Listen to what he says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He turned to God, and what did God do? Turned to him. He says, when I was in trouble, I turned to God. When I didn't know what to do with my enemies, I turned to God. When my sins and my failures were overtaking me, I turned to God. He was giving us a step, whatever you do, turn to God. And it can be clichéable. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. It's nearly like it loses power that we say it willy-nilly. But it's when you're in deep trouble and you turn to the Lord. I don't know about you, but my old knees at 50 is killing me. And I play football every Wednesday. And I leave Stephen Cassidy in my wake every week. And he's only 40-something. And then the other guys I run by, they're all in simmer frames, and I'm able to go by them. You get great pleasure running by a low man of 80. And I've pains in my knees, well, not today, thank God. That caused me to go into the health shop to look for stuff to be taken from my bones and all that stuff, do you know what I mean? But the only reason I done that, really, is because they were in so much pain that I went for help. And sometimes it's like that with the Lord. We wait till we're in the gutter that we can barely mutter. Lord, help me. But David's telling us, look, in everything, turn to the Lord. Why? He says, because he hears your cry. Turn to the Lord. And step two, he says, I cried out to the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes I talk to the Lord in my head because I don't want anyone else to hear. I found his power when I say it out. Because when it's in my head, I'm just keeping it in my head. It's like a washing machine. When I say it out and put it on the clothesline, hello. So I'm not putting that out there to dry. I'm putting that out there to let the wind out. I'm putting that out there to let the sun get at them clothes. Like when I keep it in my head, it's like all I'm coming up with my own answers. Do you ever have them arguments in with yourself? You ask a question of yourself and then you answer. But all you're getting is self. It's like flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And David says, I cried out. I told the Lord. I failed. I've messed up. If I had to count my sins, it might as well be trying to count the hairs on my head. He didn't keep it in. He didn't let the enemy bring him condemnation that he couldn't go back to the God that he knew was merciful and faithful and loving and kind and his mercies and new every morning. Says, no, I know this God. I'm not going to let any false teaching, any false lawyers, any false gods keep you away. Why? Because I know him. And I have found in my walk with God, no matter what I told you 100 times because it's true, I drag myself into where God is. When I don't understand, when I don't, when I fail, when I hurt, when I'm disappointed, and everything in me wants to say, get comfort elsewhere. Just hang out outside of the presence of God. Get in there now. I'm telling you, I've done that more times than not. Because I've learned. And you cry out. He says he turned and he answered. He turned and he answers. He will answer you. He will answer your cry. He will respond to your turning to him. And David says, and Phil said it earlier on, wait patiently. That's the hardest part. Wait patiently. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not faint. And they will mount up on wings like an eagle. Psalm 40, or Isaiah 40. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him to open that door. Wait on him to bring that person into your life. I'm telling you, there's more women with wrong men in their lives because they haven't waited on God. And vice versa. I went for my own missus. And I'm not saying God is like, what's her name? Cilla Black, blind date. But we wait on him. Wait patiently on him. One thing to wait is another thing to wait patiently. Galatians 4:4, I think it is. In the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus Christ. There's a fullness of time. There's a fullness for you and for the promises of God. They're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All God's promises are yes in Jesus because he made a yes. But we're the amen. We say the amen. Amen means so be it. What God promised, what Jesus made sure would happen in our lives, we say amen to that promise. We say out loud, amen, Lord, to all things turn together for the good. We say amen. We say, let it be so in my life. We don't keep silent. We say, let it be so. He secured it, and we amen it. Amen. Listen to what David also said when we're needy. Another step. Step 3, wait patiently. Step 4, acknowledge where he was at. He says, the Lord is great, but as for me, I'm poor and needy. He says, Lord, I'm in this. I don't know which way to turn. I'm poor or needy. The one way out of anything is to first acknowledge where you're at. You can't get to your destination unless you acknowledge where you're at. You ever see on your maps on your phone or GPS? It has to start with where you're at to get to where you're going to go. And David says, this is me. I'm just so poor. I'm so needy. But you're great. And we can stay in a prolonged, hard situation because of denial and an unwillingness to deal with something and fear. That's why we need to pray for courage. Because it takes courage to face what some of us have to face, doesn't it? It takes something from outside of us to be imparted to us. Someone said to me last week, I have to face the mother of all things. Please pray for courage for me. In their life, in their past. And I'm like, wow, courage has to be part of our prayer for people. But he acknowledged where he was. And listen to what David said. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. You know, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. But you opened my ears. And then I said, here I am. I was like reading this and go, so David was like, probably like God was, God, if you do this for me, I'll do that. I'll go to church more. I'll give more. I'll pray more, fast more. And David was like, Lord, will you help me? And he must have been bargaining with God. Because he was like, sin offering? Sacrifice? Do you know what I mean? What else did he say? Burnt offerings? He says, Lord, here it is. He was trying to buy God. And then he said, God opened his ears because God spoke to him. And then he realized, no, Lord, but to present me. Not promises that I probably won't fulfill anyway. He says, I realize, I just copped on and I said, here I am. It's me you want. It's not me promises, it's not me burnt offerings, it's not me sacrifice, it's me. And David said he presented himself to God. Here I am. It is written in your word about me. I desire to do your will. Your law is written in my heart. It's me that you want. God doesn't want the peripheral. He wants us. He's not interested in our talents if he's not getting who we are. He's not interested. And David was must have been going, I'll give more to the poor. He must have been, you know, we do it, don't we? I'll be a good boy this week, Lord. I'll just give yourself. Just give your life to me again. Well, I gave it to you 27 years ago. Yeah, but no, you keep trying to think about it. And lastly, step 6. He says, I didn't hear you now, so far. You showed your faithfulness to me, I told everybody. The line in that song, I said it to Jay earlier, you know, tell your neighbors all. I've heard that song 2 years ago, and every time I hear that line, I get goosebumps. I honestly, my body like sort of reacts to that one line of that song. And David says that you took me out of the mud and the mire. You lifted me up. You put me feet. This is the rest of that song. When he done all of this, when he took them steps to turn to God, he says, you lifted me up out of that mud and mire. That, you know, mud, do you ever get your foot out stuck in mud? It's like, you know, like really with a boot on. It's hard to get your feet out of that. But he says, God lifted me up. Another psalm says that he took me by the shoulders and he lifted me up out of that place. And David says, I'm not going to keep that to myself because I know people that's stuck in the mud. And he says, I told it to the great assemblies. That means to anyone that would listen to him. He says, I'm telling them that you took me out of the mud and the mire. You put my feet on a rock where I was slippy and it was, I was sliding all over the place. Give me a firm place to stand. Not only that, Lord, would you put a song inside of it? A hymn of praise to God. And many seen and many heard and many put their trust in God. David teaches us, step by step, turn to the Lord, cry out to the Lord, step 2. Wait for the Lord, step 3. Acknowledge where you're at or where we're at. Step 4. Don't promise him this, that, and the other. Just give him yourself. And step 6. Give her away. I'm telling you, if you want more, give her away. If you want more stories, give your story away. I'm telling you, you're so in God. You saw one story in God, and God will give you an altar for the stories. Not yesteryear, not what happened when I came to the Lord 20 years ago. God's faithfulness. Let's stand. Look at that. 3 minutes left. Maybe the worship team will come back because I do feel we need to do some business with God. We love you, Lord. Just fix your eyes on it. Don't, whatever landed on you as we were speaking. Maybe you're not born again, or you go, I don't even know whether I am or not. The Lord wants to give you a new life today, new hope, new dreams, new vision, new heart, new place, a new position, kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, new position from an orphan to a son, from a servant to a friend. And what you can do this morning is ask him, Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you're the Son of God. I confess in my mouth. And I believe in my heart. And I invite you in to change and to bring new life. That's all it needs, is a sincere heart. If you ask him, he'll come in. And he'll bring heaven with him. And your nature will be changed. And you will see the desires for the things of the old fades away. Just during this song, I would like to invite you to the front. Maybe you're going through troubles. And you want to know God in the midst of them. Why don't we use this time to turn to him? Why don't we use this time to step out where we're at and to step up to the front and just, Lord, I present myself to you. I find it hard, Lord God. I see like my enemy all around me. It's like, I pray this week, I pray, Lord, take the boast of the enemy out of his mouth and give us the testimony of Jesus afresh. And that's what he wants to do. That's the song he wants to put in their mouth, the hymn of praise to God. He says, will you silence me, enemy? Silence the foe. Silence those who want to seek me, like brought low. I'm turning to you. Maybe God will give you a song, even in the midst of your troubles. Maybe he'll give you a song that's just dispels darkness, that lifts you in the morning, that draws you to him. Words that he'll give you that are just between you and him. If you want, just come forward. Maybe you need to acknowledge where you're at. Maybe you just need to come before and say, Lord, this is where I'm at, and I'm just confessing it before you, to you. I need more. I'm needy. I'm needy. I need more of your spirit. I need more. I need more. I need something from you because I feel a bit bankrupt today. And Lord, I feel poor. I need to be enriched. I need Jesus. And Jesus, we come to you and we sing this song and we sing these words, oh God, as a prayer, as a cry, as a turning to you, Lord. And I thank you that you are turned towards us. Your face is not away from us. Your face is towards us. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord causes his face to shine upon you. His face is not back. His back is not to you. His face is towards us. And we cry out to you, Lord. And we just know that you will hear our cry and you will lift us up. You'll put our feet on a rock and give us a new song.